Welcome to the Princeton Laxcast. Jerry Price joined by Princeton head men's lacrosse coach Matt Madelon. And Matt, welcome.
Thrilled to be back.
Big day today because it is Thursday, March 8th. And that means before we talk about anything to do with Princeton lacrosse, although this actually does have to do with Princeton lacrosse, let's wish a happy 87th birthday to John McPhee.
What a wonderful man. Blessed to have him around and happy birthday.
So, you know, Mr. McPhee is the Pulitzer Prize-winning writer. He's been a writing instructor at Princeton for decades, but he's also an academic athletic fellow on the men's lacrosse team. And, you know, he's a pretty intense student of lacrosse, and I think the guys really respond well to him.
Yeah, he does. He's a quiet observer. I think he gives his two cents. I think he feeds his observations through Coach Bryce Chase. So we get it all, but he's a wonderful man. We're blessed to have him around. I know he's been around a lot of Princeton lacrosse guys. And we're actually fortunate. I think Jeffers Guthrie is actually taking his class right now too. So one some creative writing pieces. So it's pretty neat stuff.
Yeah, there have been players through the years, athletes of other sports that have taken his class. And did want to start out by wishing happy birthday to Mr. McPhee. And then also, before we get into the lacrosse piece, how exactly did Waverly respond to the snow?
Well, you know, we're without power right now, so she's been a little chilly recently. But
does she like the snow itself?
She does. We bundle up. She loves looking out the window. She's really enjoying it. We haven't put her on a sled yet, but we might today, or we will shortly. So I think she enjoys watching our dog playing it, and it's a mess up here.
So we start with Waverly, who is not yet one, and John McPhee, who turns 87 today.
Yeah, Waverly, 10 months today, though. Big day.
So there you go. Some milestones for two important people in Princeton lacrosse program. Speaking of, now let's get into the lacrosse part. The Tuesday night 15-8 win over NJIT is followed by the game on Saturday at 1 o'clock against Rutgers. So it's the New Jersey portion of the schedule. Now 2-0 against New Jersey teams, having beaten Monmouth and NJIT. And let's start with the game from Tuesday night. And no offense to NJIT, but they're still struggling to find themselves as a program. They're clearly improved. They're to the point of, and I give Travis Johnson, their head coach, a lot of credit. You know, it's not an easy task, and they're to the point where they're, competitive, and they make you play. Whereas I think when they first started out, they were just looking for bodies. I think now they've sort of found a little bit of a footing, and so it pushes you a bit. Did you take much out of that game on Tuesday night?
Yeah, I mean, we schedule that game for a reason, and we schedule it, located on our schedule, excuse me if I articulated that well, strategically. But Travis is doing a good job over there. He's got a good product to offer in terms of an engineering degree. He's sorting out his athletic facilities, so he's had some struggles. But his team was much improved, and they did a good job. You know, they competed a heck of a lot more on offense. They did a decent job defensively. Up the middle of the field, they're a little weak. But
the Forster kid's pretty good.
He's a real good player. I
mean, the poll was good.
He's an Ottawa kid. They got a couple Canadian guys that handle the ball well, can beat you one-on-one. And they're slick. They made a couple great off-ball plays. So
they have a short stick, D-Mitty, 56. I don't know if he's not one of their frontline guys, but he played a lot. His name's Grant Toller, and he actually played on the same high school team as my son. And when Brad Conlin was here, and then he left to go to NJIT, he was like, we need people, any people. And so this kid's name is Grant Toller, and I connected them because Grant is pretty athletic. He didn't have a lot of great lacrosse experience. He was getting better. And so they took him, and now he's a fairly regular short stick D-Mitty, but I was talking to him before the game, and he's a junior. This is his third year there, and he's told me that next year he's finishing his master's in engineering. So he's doing a four-year bachelor's master program at NJIT.
Incredible. I mean, that's the strength in that opportunity there. So we actually get a handful of NJIT guys to come work camp along with our very own Greg Price. So we get a good little crew in the summer. Those are really good guys. And, Travis Johnson coached at Stevens Tech, where I was prior to coming to Princeton. So, there's a little history there. He's always been a good guy, always looked out for me throughout the ranks. So, happy to play those guys. But, for us, in terms of being able to take away from that game, we look to kind of put our systems are, where we are, where are we after the first handful of games of our season. We're still trying to find ourselves out a little bit, who we are in certain spots, play some different guys. So it allowed us to start a few guys defensively that hadn't started before. Put a couple guys in the short stick defensive midfield role like Sam Bonafide, get him some reps there. Have some young guys continue to develop at the faceoff X. So we're still, again, we used it as – you know, hey, look, any team can win on any given day. So we came out this, we approached this like any other. It was the biggest game of the year because it was the next one, and we took it as that, and we went out, we produced well, and we got some good tape on guys. So we were happy with the outcome.
So I talked to, let's start with the defense. I talked to Coach Hirsch after the game, and I kind of mentioned to him it seemed almost like a summer club game where you played two different groups of three defensemen. So now that's good because you have six guys on defense that you can run out there. Are you planning to do that again? Are you thinking about like using that as a way to like almost have tryouts to see who your three are going to be?
You know, in our first handful of games defensively, we just weren't reacting instinctively. We were doing a good job of playing in the black and white, and they took their marching orders. They did a good enough job with them, but we weren't playing in the gray areas that well. So we tried to make a little competition down there, get guys kind of reacting. We always tell our team, make mistakes full speed. And so, you know, it's something that we're trying to preach. We want guys to just react and trust it. And if they do make a mistake, recover from it and recover very hard and very fast. So it was good for us. You know, I'm not sure the direction. We're still working out our game plan for this weekend. But I was happy with the young guys. I mean, George Bond started down on close defense. He's a heck of a cover guy. He's a superior athlete. He's a tenacious cover guy. So, you know, he's going to help us. You know, I think that, you know, guys like David Sturtz got in there. David Sturtz is a pretty instinctual defenseman. You know, he's got to continue to work in the weight room and get a little bigger and stronger. But, you know, he's a young guy that really does play the game the way we're looking for. So it was really it was a bright spot to see some of those guys down there.
So let's talk about some other guys. And, you know, we don't want to always start with Michael Sowers, and we didn't really start with Michael Sowers, so let's talk about Michael Sowers. 100 career, you know, he has 105 career points, but he gets to 100 points in 18 games in one quarter. It's the fastest anybody's ever gotten to 100 points at Princeton by almost four full games. You know, just I mean, perhaps a bit of a concern is a year ago he scored or assisted on 37% of the goals. This year it's 48%. Is it a little too high reliance on him to create?
No. I mean, you know, actually, they're
it's also early, so stats don't really tell a story.
Teams are defending him differently. You know, last year when he was standing alongside of Zach Curry or Gavin McBride, Austin Sims, you know, Charlie Derb, all these guys, our starting unit, Riley Thompson, as much as he was a focus, he wasn't the focus. Now, as he's the focus, he's really got to pick his spots. We do a lot to get him certain matchups. We do a lot, you know, with our guys off ball when he has the ball against certain matchups. So, no, not concerning. That's awesome that he assisted on 48%. Hopefully that
scored or assisted on 48%.
No, that's great. You know, we wouldn't change a system due to a stat like that. But
he's already 17th all-time at Princeton in assists.
It's you know, that also doesn't surprise me. The stuff he does every day, you know, I wish more Princeton alums and folks could come out and hang and watch a practice. I think you guys would love to see how we train, how our guys talk to each other, how our guys work. But to watch this kid do it day in and day out, you know, game days are easy for him when it comes to how he trains during the week. So,
So Austin Sims, 3 goals, 2 assists against NJIT. He'd been struggling with his shot a bit. What's your sense on where he is?
He's still struggling a little bit. You know, you guys just guys getting slumps. I think it always happens. You know, one time throughout the year, I'm okay with it happening early as long as, you know, he gets out of this at the right time. So, look, he's shooting well. He's putting himself in the right spots. You know, I think he's getting, you know, it's funny. You watch us play and he gets a handful of shots knocked down, which is a bizarre play in lacrosse. So, you know, we looked at that.
Princeton blocks, I would think, more than their fair shots. I mean, that defenseman step in.
I hope so. I mean, we talk about shooting angles and how to approach properly, and, you know, especially as a goalie, if, you know, we can get our D guys getting hit and protect our goalies a little bit, we'll take that all day.
There's a lot of shots in Princeton games, more than a lot of the games that I watch, and maybe there isn't, but it just seems that way, where you see the shot, you look at the goal, you look at the goalie, you look behind the goal, and the ball's not there, and then you notice, like, one of the poles is running up the field, and, like, they either caught it or blocked it and picked it up, and see that a lot.
I can't explain it because it's not the most fundamental way to play defense in terms of poke checking the head of somebody's stick. And I know that's not what we teach, but anyway, so no, very, you know, so with Austin, I mean, look, he's always
shot the ball. He's not the kind of kid you're ever going to worry about.
No, but But it can get, you know, I'm sure it can get in any, I mean, we don't really address it. We're not going to make excuses for the young guy. He's got to shoot the ball better when it boils down to it. And if you're a big-time player for a big-time program, which we're hoping he is, he's going to figure it out.
Let's talk a little bit about the continued development of some of the younger guys. And Chris Brown has at least one goal, one assist in every game. And, you know, he's kind of established himself as, you don't look at him and think freshman. Phillip Robertson, who finally missed a shot, but still is very comfortable in the offense. But one guy, hadn't played at all, then just stepped on the field and scored, was Jamie Atkinson, another freshman, and sort of looked really comfortable doing it as well.
It's a great observation. I mean, what we're looking for in our guys, especially offensive guys, is poise and assertiveness. You know, we need guys that can handle the situation, can handle a little pressure, can handle a little adversity, but we also need guys to make decisions, and make the right ones.
And his other shot hit the pipe.
And that's what Chris Brown does great. I mean, he stepped on the field, and the stage is not too big for that young guy. I mean, he can play. He never batted an eye, and he does the same thing in practice too. He's a big body. He's a good frame. He makes great decisions. He doesn't try to do too much. And Jamie's a young guy. Hopefully we'll be saying his name a lot in the next few podcasts. He's a guy that, as he's played through his freshman fall and played through his kind of, freshman preseason, he's done a really good job. He shoots the ball really well. So I think we'll find more of a role for him. He's, we're happy with his production so far.
And then the faceoff game, a bit of a struggle Saturday in Baltimore against Hopkins. NJIT is near the bottom of Division I in faceoffs, so it really dominated NJIT, and really everybody who faced off looked good doing it. Where's your thoughts on that?
Our test will come again this weekend. I mean, look, NJIT, it was good to go against those guys. But like you said, they're not producing at the level that, at a championship level right now. So we got it. We've got Sam Bonafide, a senior. We've been trying to go with some young guys, Ralph Schrappa, sophomore, Philip Thompson, sophomore, Jack and Rivar, freshman. We're going to see if these guys can manufacture it. They're three different looks, technical, speed, strength, scrap. So we've got it all. We've just got to figure out our game plans a little better and figure out how to combat these face-off guys that seem to be dominating this sport right now. So we're going to keep working at it. We look at it as more of a 3-on-3 battle. There are, I think Coach Tuma might have said it best. I think there are 10 different ways to win a face-off, and only one of them involves the face-off guy winning the ball to himself. So we've just got to do a really good job of making sure we're ready, our game plan's ready, and we grind it out there a little bit.
So the test this Saturday is Rutgers. It's the 96th meeting between Princeton and Rutgers. It's two teams that have played every year except for two since 1921, and that was the two World War II years of 44 and 45. So it's a great rivalry. Rutgers now in the Big Ten. They're ranked 12th and 13th, depending on which poll you like. And they're a defense-first team, it appears. I mean, they're one of the top defensive teams in the country. And they're interesting to me. They're a really good defensive team that doesn't cause a lot of turnovers, which suggests that they're a very good positional team, defensive team. And, I think that they would be comfortable with a 10-8 game rather than a 17-14 game.
Yeah, it's been their MO since Coach Breck took over there. He's done a nice job. They get good, tough, hard-nosed athletes playing defense. And they've got a good goalie backstopping them. The Edelman kid's good. Solid, good stopper, makes clean saves, gets the ball up and out. And then they do some unique things. They play, it's not so much transition as it is early offense. They kind of pry on some of the parts of the games that not a lot of programs are coaching to the fullest extent. They do a nice job. They've got it going over at Rutgers in terms of how their approach and their system and their style of play. So we're excited for the matchup. I mean, it's going to be a great one. We've always played tight games. They pulled away from a little bit from us last year.
It was a little chilly that night too.
It was a little chilly. We don't talk about the weather though. We can't control that.
But one thing about this game is it's back to Saturday. So to have Princeton play Rutgers on a Saturday, I think is one of the things that you wanted to make happen.
Yeah, Coach Brecht and I talked a lot, and we looked at it. And there was a Tuesday night game, and as both programs were continuing to grow and get better, and hopefully be in the top 10, top 20. We wanted this to be a weekend game. We wanted to make sure that we were really promoting New Jersey lacrosse, getting high schools out there, getting youth teams out there, getting club programs out there. So we're really hoping for a good atmosphere. As wonderful as it is to have such a great competition for a Tuesday night, it just fits better for both of us as a Saturday game.
So it's Princeton-Rutgers. It's this Saturday. 1 o'clock faceoff on Sherrod Field, and then a week from Saturday is the Ivy opener against Penn, a 4 o'clock start on Sherrod Field as well. So, and then jumping right into it after that with Yale and Brown, and just it's going to go really quickly, and it's going to go, you know, the games are ratcheting up in intensity. So we want to thank you for taking time to be with us here, and we'll talk about the Rutgers game next week, and we'll look ahead to the Ivy League season on the next Princeton Laxcast. But this time, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, and happy birthday again to John McPhee.
Happy birthday, John McPhee. And for Coach Matt Allen, this is Jerry Price. Once again, thank you for listening to the Princeton Laxcast, and once again, thank you for your support of Princeton men's lacrosse.